Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I'm your co-host, Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. And, of course, joining us is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. Eric, excited to be back here with you on a Monday episode and another movie review. This is our second one that we've done in the last couple of days. If you guys have not checked it out, we did do a live stream review of Sonic 2 over on our YouTube page. So if you're looking for that, that is where that review is. But today, Eric, we are going to be talking about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which is a film that kind of snuck up on us a little bit. Like, we were very limited in terms of what marketing we saw. We just knew that it had a whole lot of hype. And here we are about to record this episode, and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
You know, it really is one of those movies that just kind of snuck up on us. Like, I forgot that it was coming out. I remember seeing the trailer and I was excited to watch it. And then it just left my mind with all the superhero and video game movies that are out there. So I'm really happy we were able to get tickets, which, you know, it wasn't hard to find once we got closer to the date. But at first, Phil, it didn't really pop up very much. So I am curious how many people are actually going to go see this film. And if you haven't seen the movie by the time this review has come out, again, definitely implore you to do so. It's a movie I think that could really use the support, right, Phil? I mean, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, because as the film was getting more and more recognition through festivals and things like that, they began adding more viewings to other theaters. So oddly enough, it's not playing at the theater that's like 5 minutes from my house, but it is playing at the one over by you and then another theater that we frequent very often as well. So you are seeing this start to roll out a little bit more. But for some of you, depending on where you are, you might have to do a little bit of searching or driving to go see the film. So that is a very, very good point. And it is slowly. Well, I don't even want to say slowly. It's very quickly gaining a lot of recognition. And I think a lot of people are going to try and find a way to go see it. And who even knows, Eric, maybe this will result in getting a lot more availability as far as maybe a theater that's closer to you. But we're going to get into all of that here with our review. So, Eric, for anybody that is brand new, let them know how our movie reviews typically work, and then we'll jump right into it.
So our movie reviews of the Wait For It Podcast are quite simple. We're going to jump into the positive side of things, starting off with likes. Then we'll jump on the opposite side to talk about dislikes or opportunities. And we'll finish it up with our final thoughts and an overall grade, where we're going to rank the movie between 1 and 10, give it a score, because of course you have to do that in 2022 with your reviews. But with that being said, we are going to be keeping this spoiler free. So I know, again, this is not a movie that everyone will be seeing, but Phil, I think you and me by the end of it will be recommending this, and I'm curious to see where we land. With Sonic, we were pretty close in how we felt. I think with the amount of laughs and reactions we had in this film, I feel like this is going to be more of the same.
What two wildly different experiences we had. We saw Sonic 2, which was just an interesting experience, and then this, which is an even more interesting experience. We've had a hell of like a 48 hours with all these emotions, Eric. I'm not sure. I don't know that it's healthy that we watch Sonic 2 and then this.
Probably not. But we do this. We do this for our audience, and we love you very much. So we remember, guys, we do this for you.
That is right. Well, Eric said a very key word there, and that is love. And there are a lot of things to love about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And Eric, let's start off with probably the most obvious thing, which is Michelle Yeoh. And she has been popping up a lot recently. Now, a couple of years ago, she is in Crazy Rich Asians, which I absolutely love. If you want to go even farther back, she's in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But with her performance in that and just playing this cold, callous, like heartless character in Crazy Rich Asians, I was like, man, she is amazing. And then, of course, popping up again last year in Shang-Chi as just a kick-ass character, definitely one of the highlights of that film. And I was excited to see that she is in a leading role in this film. And Eric, you really get to see her acting chops on display here. And I can't sit here and tell you that I remember anything about Crouching Tiger. I was very young when that movie came out. But to see this resurgence from her, as some have explained it, is incredibly impressive, because she has to play not only one main character in this film, she plays all of them and multiple. So I cannot say enough good things about her in this. A lot of people, I watched some reviews while we're getting ready for this. A lot of professional reviewers are saying this is her best performance ever, and she was fantastic.
I mean, lead actress material, she needs to be, right? And I think she did a fantastic job, not to overshadow the rest of the cast, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, Phil, but, you know, I think she deserves the most amount of talk time here, because it was very, very well done how she was able to pull off being that kind of like hard Asian mother, like stereotype almost, to the point of being a badass. Like, there are a lot of different roles she kind of has to play in here, you know, being that highly kind of popular person at one point, right? So there's like little things as far as the look of her character, the way her character acts, that I thought she did really well. And she juggled those all flawlessly. And again, that's what a leading woman is supposed to do in your movie. Again, fantastic casting there, right in the lead spot. But the rest of the cast was awesome, Phil. Was there anyone else specifically that you wanted to call out? Because I feel like we're going to land on the same. The whole cast was amazing.
Oh, they're so good. We have to highlight Ke Huy Quan, who is, a lot of you may recognize from his very early acting days. He was Short Round in Indiana Jones, and then he also played a role in The Goonies. And I know I'm going to anger a lot of people here. I have not seen The Goonies, but he had actually left acting because of the lack of opportunities for Asians in film. And now he has come back to this. This is his first major role in a very, very long time. And he also is so damn good. And like you said, everyone is good. But Ke also has to play multiple Waymans in this as well. So he brings a human element to this very large story that they're telling, and we'll talk about just the story that they tell, because it's really ballsy to jump into this multiverse thing right now without being an established property, right? And this struck while the iron is hot when it comes to different realities and all that kind of stuff. So maybe this was now the time to release this film. It was really good timing, but he is definitely one that was fantastic. And Eric, I'll let you talk about him, but also I want to shout out Stephanie Su, who also plays Joy Wong, and she has a very tiny role in Shang-Chi. She is the couple that's in the bar with the two main characters. And now I wish they had given her more to do, because she was fantastic in this. So yeah, let's just round out the family and talk about them, because oh my God, they were so good.
Yeah, and you know, Stephanie Su was really, really good. I really enjoyed her presence. And again, she's, you know, without getting too much into it, a lot of these characters are having to play multiple versions of themselves, right? It's a multiverse movie. That's not much of a spoiler if you know anything about the film. But the standout for me, you know, we talked about the leading lady, of course, but Ke Huy Quan is fantastic. He is so good. And it's the amount of, like just swag that he has in one role and how like pathetic he is in another. He plays both of them very well. I am super excited to see what the future holds for him out of all of them, especially with what you just said about his history and the fact that, you know, I do remember him from The Goonies, and I didn't know that he didn't really have much of a career after that. You know, he's definitely been in a couple things since then. I see a film here in 2021. But again, nothing major, as you said, and he was born in 71, right? So he's in that 50-year-old range, and I feel like he's going to be looking, not looking for work, he's going to be getting a lot of work at his age now. So I think he just hit his prime and he didn't know it. I'm super excited to see what he does next.
And some other characters here, James Hong, who is a legend. Eric, did you know, and he plays Gong Gong, did you know he's 93? And moving like that, like, I can't get out of the bed now. I'm 60 years younger than him.
Okay, well, Phil, I don't know that 60 years younger is the number we're looking at. You don't have to necessarily, like, fabricate that.
Just because you can't do math doesn't mean you have to come at me.
Okay, well, that's fine. 93 was the age I thought you were, so we're both learning something new today.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And as I said, there was a very limited a media that I opened myself up to going into this. I didn't even know Jamie Lee Curtis is in this, and she's just having a blast, right? Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is so good. You know, she came out and did another Scream film. I haven't seen that, but I heard relatively good things. But she is just having the time of her life in this as Deirdre, who is a IRS auditing agent, I guess. But she was great. I also wasn't expecting this film mostly to take place within an IRS building. That was kind of surprising. But Jamie Lee Curtis is having an absolute ball in this too.
Yeah, she was. And there's little obscure characters that were also really funny. Like, I know you were excited to see Jenny Slate in the movie.
Oh, I love her.
Who is funny. Harry Shum Jr., who, of course, Rakakui, which was, again, I'm not going to get into it, but it's fantastic. And even his little small bit in it was hilarious. Like, again, a lot of these obscure characters in the movie that don't really play towards the plot were just really cool to watch. Again, very, very beautifully shot film. One thing, Phil, that I have to mention if we're talking about the multiverse is the fact that I really think they went a unique direction with this. And again, this is something I'll mention in my overall thoughts, but not every movie can pull that off. And not every movie does pull that off, because really all of the films that we watch are this is something I had read, was that they're just one of 30 possible storylines, right? It's just what you do with that makes it unique and original. I feel like this movie does that. What did you think of the multiverse concept, Phil?
To go back to Ke Huy Quan, he is basically the vessel. He is the exposition guy for this film. And at no point, Eric, did I feel overwhelmed, because it's such an interesting take on it. I know I'm sorry to mention this, but this is what's going on right now, obviously, with Marvel and DC. But we spent so many years trying to explain other universes and things like that, and then it all came to a head with the Spider-Man film. This does this in a barely 2 hour runtime, 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think. And the fact that they pulled that off is incredibly impressive. So I loved it. I love seeing the little universes that we did get to see. I would love to see the rest of them. Eric, there's a brief moment in the film where you see all the different Evelyns, and there's very, very for a moment, an anime version. I'm like, man, I'd love to see that. So I was definitely into it.
Yeah. And you know what, Phil, there's so many good things. We could honestly talk forever about it. Keeping it spoiler free though, there is one more thing I know I wanted to mention in addition to what you've covered already. And it's how funny the movie is. It really made us laugh out loud several times, and we weren't the only ones. We heard a lot of people laughing in the theaters, right? So I think this movie had a sense of humor that I didn't quite expect going into it.
Yeah, I realized how loud I was laughing halfway through. I was like, oh, I forgot this is a smaller theater. I was laughing as if we were in a giant, giant theater opening weekend. But yeah, it is hilarious. It's got a lot of really weird humor. It's a weird movie, you guys. And man, we were just laughing our asses off. The other thing that I wanted to mention, Eric, is that the action is really good. And it's not heavy hitting fighting scenes, but the action that is in here is just very, very good. The choreography is top notch. And you can tell they took a lot of inspiration from many, many different places. And I was, again, watching some of the reviews, films that I've never even heard of, but now want to look into. Between the humor and the action in this, it just has a really, really solid blend. And I just had an awesome time at a midday showing on a Sunday afternoon. So I was very, very pleased with that. But Eric, anything else you want to mention before maybe we transition into some dislikes or opportunities?
No, guys, we wanted to make this episode highly consumable to you guys. So yeah, we could make this episode probably an hour or longer just talking of the likes, but I think we're going to need to condense it down, because Phil, this next section, not too much to talk about here. But before we get to that, I definitely want to make a quick mention about a giveaway we're doing and an event we're going to be showing up to later in April called BetaQuest 2022. Now, guys, if you're located in Jacksonville, Florida, or you're close to the Kingsland area in Georgia, consider attending BetaQuest 2022 on April 23rd, which is a convention put together to help raise money for the Junior Beta Club to go to national competition this summer. You'll find vendors, artists, and voice actors here, and whether it's the $10 entry fee that includes a raffle ticket, or the $40 VIP ticket that gets you 6 raffle tickets, an event pin and sticker, as well as priority in line for star signings, you're sure to have a good time. Check out more details at their site, which is linked in the show notes. And make sure to listen to our social media plugs at the end of this episode, because on Facebook and Instagram, we're running a giveaway for two pairs of those VIP tickets. And we're going to be doing the giveaway all this week, announcing winners on Saturday the 16th. We hope to see you there. And again, make sure to follow us for that giveaway.
All right, Eric. So let's go ahead and get into some opportunities here. And like you said, I don't think we're going to spend a whole lot of time in this. There is one thing that I wish we had seen more of in the film, and that is the relationship between Gong Gong and Evelyn. I think there was an opportunity to explore that a little bit more. Now, the film is already jam-packed with a whole lot of, like I said, exposition, a lot of backstory, but I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of where this relationship fractured between Evelyn and Waymond and then Gong Gong. I thought there was an opportunity there, and it didn't take anything away from me. It's just, I think that's just something I wanted to see. So it's not necessarily a negative. I was just very interested in that dynamic.
Yeah, I could see that. Phil, tell me how long this movie was, because I can't recall at the top of my head. I remember it being definitely at least 2 hours, probably closer to that 2.5 hour mark. But what I'll say here is just that there were no real sense of consequences here for me personally. And Phil, I don't know how you felt about this point, but maybe it wasn't because of all the time that was spent with the family and there's just a lot going on, but I don't know. There was just no sense of real consequence or possible deaths that were really going to happen. I thought there was going to be more than there was. So what are your thoughts about that? And did you have the time for the film?
Yeah, the film is 2 hours and 19 minutes, according to IMDb. And yeah, the sense of doom and the importance of the task at hand could certainly have been expounded upon. I guess, like, this is really difficult to talk about without spoiling everything, because you guys have to go in and see this film and just experience it, definitely in a theater. I think that's definitely where it's best. But yeah, I see what you're saying here, and maybe that's just a fault to, you know, the film already having so much in it that they had to kind of pick and choose what they did and did not explain. I don't know. Again, at the end of the day, I still had a really, really great time. But there's certainly, again, like I said, there are a couple opportunities here, as there are with many, many films, but nothing here that, again, took away from how much fun I had.
No, totally agreed. And I think the last little nitpicky thing I'll mention here is just, I don't know how you felt, but like the first kind of slow-mo scene was fine for me. I didn't think we needed to do it again. Like at some point we do drop it, and once we drop it, those are the ones I enjoyed the most, but I did feel like it was used maybe one too many times. But again, I kind of feel like I'm grasping at straws a little bit, because I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, and I think it's a film that's going to please a lot of people, like the hardcore film geeks. I think it's going to please a lot of people that just enjoy a good action film, a lot of people that enjoy a good family dynamic. There is something in here for a lot of people. At the same time, though, Eric, I do want to recognize that this might not be for everybody. I myself, the grade that I give it is going to reflect how I feel, but I will say that it is a festival type of film, right? It has a $25 million budget, although it looks like it has a much larger budget, but this is a independent festival style film that I think a lot of people are going to go flock to see. And maybe it's not exactly what you think it is, because if you go into this thinking it's a cut and dry action movie, it is not. There's a lot going on beneath the surface, and a lot that sometimes will take extra research to understand. And not everybody's going to do that. And that's perfectly fine. I still think you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. But does that make sense, Eric? Kind of like what I'm saying, like when I say it's like a festival type of film that may not be for everybody. Does that make sense?
I mean, there's a lot going on, and I could see it being a little bit too much for people to follow along and enjoy, really, is what it... Well, I'll put it this way. There is one scene in particular, without spoiling it, where there is there's no audio, but a ton of dialogue between two inanimate objects. And I don't think that's going to be for everyone, and it goes on for a little minute. For a solid minute, like, and I don't mean like 1 minute 60 seconds. Yeah, but it was a long time, a long period of time. So that's all. That may not be for everyone. As a little example, they do a lot of crazy, cool, weird things in this movie. And again, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but I think it's going to be most. I think if you enjoy multiverse concepts. I feel like this movie did that very, very well. I don't know that it's the best multiverse movie I've ever seen. I know that's kind of what it was getting tagged with in the advertisements I've seen, but I definitely think it's up there and it deserves its, it definitely deserves its spot in this genre.
All right, well, I think that's a good time to get into our grades here. For those of you that are curious, on Rotten Tomatoes, it currently holds a 97% certified fresh rating on the tomato meter for critics and a 94% audience score. So we have one of those rare films where critics and the audience are meeting in the middle, or not even meeting in the middle, meeting at the same place, which hardly ever happens, as a lot of you know. For me, Everything Everywhere All at Once is a wild ride. The hype had been building for the film the closer and closer we got to its release date, and so much so that they began adding more showings to more theaters over the last few weeks. I had seen very basic marketing leading up to this, so I had a general idea of what the premise was, but I did not expect the experience that I was given. It seems like everyone is dipping into the multiverse these days, and to be honest, for people behind this film to tackle the subject without an established brand, as I said, it's a really, really ballsy move. There's a lot of exposition in the early portions of the movie, but Ki-Hui Kwan is so excellent in his role. I never was overwhelmed or disinterested with what's going on. I love Michelle Yeoh in Crazy Rich Asians and possibly even more in Shang-Chi. Her versatility is incredibly impressive, and it's on full display here, as she must play multiple roles throughout the entire thing. Stephanie Hsu as well, who I loved in her multiple roles in the film. There's a heavy meaning behind the absolutely insane visuals in Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I'm really happy that films like Turning Red and this are exploring the complexity of the Asian household. I won't claim to be some sort of film major or film snob, but I do recognize that this is not going to be an experience for everyone. Some may walk out of the theater completely confused about what the hell they just watched. For me, this is the type of story that will stick with me for a long, long time. Everything Everywhere All at Once has great action, sci-fi, comedy, and just the right amount of heart to make it a must-watch. God, I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10. It's so close to me giving it that 10 that other people have been giving it, Eric, but there are a couple of things that I think could have made it perfect. It's not like a 9.5 is a bad score, though.
No, I totally agree. And it's funny because the beginning of our opening statements are pretty much the same. So I'm going to keep mine pretty simple. Everything Everywhere All at Once, the best way to describe it is, like Phil said, it's wild. It's a visual confusion of the mind that's breathtaking at times. And its concept of the multiverse is really interesting. In my Sonic 2 review on our YouTube page, I mentioned how most movies have a generic plot at its core. And this is no different. This really centers along the lines of a broken family becoming whole again. But unlike that Sonic movie, this one makes itself feel original and fresh with that generic plot. And even if it didn't make you feel that way when you go to watch it, and it just came across weird, nevertheless, it will still leave an imprint on you. It's got a great cast, cool fight scenes, and a unique take on a familiar genre. I think this movie wowed me in the most unexpected ways. So, while there were one too many slow-mo scenes for my liking, and the sense of consequences wasn't quite there for me overall, those complaints are very minimal, and they might not even be existent upon second watch. So for that reason, I'm going to give this a solid 9 out of 10, if for no other reason than the fact that I'll likely never forget what I saw in theaters today, and it will be the most recent multiverse success that will inevitably be my comparison point for the highly anticipated Doctor Strange sequel that we're reviewing next month. And with that being said, Phil, I think we were pretty close, kind of like Sonic, about a half a point off. That's kind of what I was expecting here.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, just feeding off each other's emotions and seeing how we reacted in the theater doesn't surprise me one bit. And I definitely want to see it again. It's going to be added to my collection for sure. It's something that I think lends itself to a lot of really cool fan art and stuff like that. So I'll be keeping my eye out for it at conventions. Man, just a really, really great experience, and what an unexpected journey to go through. Like we said, Eric, just like at noon on a Sunday. Like, I don't know. Just what a wild weekend we've had.
Insane, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And honestly, again, I'm glad that we ended up watching this film and reviewing it, you know, for the podcast. We have a lot of great things, obviously, that are coming up this month. For example, you know, you just mentioned how we just reviewed Turning Red. I'm going to be reviewing an anime called My Dress Up Darling that I've been like super excited to talk to people about this Wednesday's episode. And then we've got a lot of great things obviously coming here at the end of April. So like we're going to be talking with Kickback Heroes. We're going to talk about the Marvel Disney shows. So talking about multiverses, I get to just completely destroy Loki one more time for old time's sake. I'm excited about it. So this was a good time. I'm glad we watched it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot coming down the pipeline, and you don't want to miss any of it. So to keep track, make sure to follow us anywhere you're listening to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, just to name a few. If you do find yourself listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a huge favor and leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to check out the show notes for the link to our YouTube page. It does have, as we mentioned, our live stream of Sonic 2, which happened just the other night. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Wait For It Podcast and on Twitter at Wait For It Pod. And make sure you check out that giveaway, which will be wrapping up here very, very shortly. But Eric, with that being said, man, I'm going to go think about this movie for a little bit longer. And so let's go ahead and get out of here.
Hey, guys, it's been a hell of a time. My name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino. And please don't forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. And all you have to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.